This is Worship First Podcast with Reverend Eleanor Coleman, pastor of First United Methodist Church in College Station, Texas. We thank you for joining us today and hope that this message inspires you. And remember, God is with you wherever you go. Join us for a word of prayer.
God of love, God of grace, God of peace, Lord, we come thanking you for the gift of this day, thanking you for all that it means. On this Resurrection Sunday, we celebrate that you so loved the world that you sent your only Son into the world, not to judge it, not to condemn it, but to save it. On this Resurrection Sunday, we give thanks that Christ did what none of us could do, that Christ atoned for our sins, paid the debt that we owed, made it right with you, O God, so that we might be in right relationship with you. On this day, we give thanks that Christ lived for us, that Christ died for us, and that Christ rose again with all power in his hands. God, on this day, we give thanks for the power of Christ at work in our lives. Our Lord, our teacher, our Savior, our Messiah said that we would do even greater things than he had done in the world. So may it be so. God bless us to recognize the power of Christ at work in us. bless us to be your servants, to be your disciples, walking with you, talking with you, living like you, loving like you, serving like you, each and every day. Forgive us of our sins, oh God, and continue to use us to do your work in your world. It's in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen.
We serve a generous and giving God, so don't forget to worship through your giving. You can give online by visiting firstcollegestation.org and clicking on the Giving tab. Remember FIRST as in the number ST. The ability to give is as close as your smartphone when you text GIVE to 979-399-8303 or download the Ministry One app. Don't forget, you can still give using the QR code on the bulletin online or mail your checks to the church at 1125 Welburn Road, College Station, Texas 77840. Thank you for your generosity.
says, Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, I have seen the Lord. Now let's join Pastor Colvin as she explores this topic further.
Hear these words from John chapter 20. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him. So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white, seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, Woman, why are you crying? They have taken my Lord away, she said, and I don't know where they have put him. At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for? Thinking he was the gardener, she said, Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned to him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus said, Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, I have seen the Lord. And she told them that he had said these things to her. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Good and gracious God, we come worshiping you and praising you on this beautiful Easter day. God, we thank you for the power of the risen Christ at work in this world and at work in us. Use this word to help us see how you would have us to be your witnesses in the world. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart is acceptable and pleasing in your sight. It's in Christ's holy name that we pray. Amen. A case is only as good as its witnesses. I have always loved a good courtroom drama. Perry Mason, Matlock, Law and Order, all rise. And one thing TV lawyers pretty much agree on is facts don't always matter as much as what you can prove. We'll come back to that later. And generally speaking, the right witness, the right eyewitness, can make you forget all about the facts. I've always loved a good courtroom drama, but I'm unable to watch the one currently playing out before us. Over the next few weeks, the world will continue to watch our American justice system stand trial in Minneapolis. It may appear to be just one officer on trial, but a whole way of life, a whole system that has allowed for different people to be policed differently or treated differently is on trial. A whole way of life is on trial. Now, both sides will call expert witnesses to testify the exact way they need them to testify. They will call witnesses to testify in ways that may contradict each other, in ways that may reinforce or remove the facts from our collective consciousness.
Likewise, a whole way of life was on trial when Jesus stood before Herod and Pilate, a way of life that allowed one ethnic group to rule another, a way of life that allowed those with a certain economic status to oppress others, a way of life without affordable health care or a living wage. A whole way of life stood trial then as people hoped that this was the long-awaited Messiah. A case is only as good as its witnesses. And in the case of the resurrection, Mary Magdalene was an all-star witness. We don't have any gospel accounts authored by her, but she is the first apostle, the first one sent with a message. John 17, John records Jesus' command and commission to her. Go and tell my brothers that I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Go and tell. Now, a quick Greek grammar lesson will reveal to us that the word used here for brothers is adelphos. And adelphos is not gender specific in the Greek. So what Jesus said to her more precisely was, go and tell the family. Go and tell all the disciples. Go and tell the brothers and the sisters, the children of God. Go and tell those who do the will and work of my Father, because that's my family. Go and tell everyone that I am alive. In the case of the resurrection, Mary Magdalene wasted no time bearing witness, because sometimes it takes time for a witness to come forward, perhaps out of fear, perhaps because they aren't 100% clear about what they've seen. But Mary wasted no time taking the witness stand. She ran to tell the other disciples. What she did understand was the sense of urgency. Whew. Church, if only we had that same kind of running in our feet. The text tells us that she ran to announce the good news to the adelphos, to the family. And Peter and the disciple that Jesus loved, they took off running to the tomb. Friends, I hope you know on this glad Easter morning that you are the disciple Jesus loved. You are the next witness being called to the cross, being called because of the cross. In the case of the resurrection, Mary Magdalene was the star witness. In the case of the resurrection, Peter later proclaimed in Acts 10, we are witnesses of everything he did. And not only that, Peter says, he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify. Friends, in the case of the resurrection, God is calling each and every one of us as witnesses. A case is only as good as its witnesses. What's your testimony today? Have you seen Christ resurrect any dead situations in your life? Because I stopped by to tell you that what the world pronounced dead, the Lord can breathe new life into. I stopped by to tell you that what the world pronounced dead, Christ says, can have new life and have it more abundantly. When the world thinks we are defeated and as good as dead, the Lord can speak up, speak over us and say, Lazarus, come out. The Lord can speak over us and say, Talitha Kuhn, little girl, sister, get up. When the world thinks we're defeated and dead, the Lord can speak over us and say, go and tell the family. Friends, is that your testimony today? That circumstances and situations that tried to choke the life out of you have been turned around for you? Is that your testimony that what the enemy meant for bad, God meant for good? Because all things work together for good for those who love the Lord. Friends, that is the promise of the cross. That is the promise we find in that empty tomb. As we look in with the disciples and see the linen cloths that covered Jesus. A case is only as good as its witnesses, but having some evidence helps. The cloths that they saw laying there in Jesus' place were evidence that his body was not stolen as Mary feared. Grave robbers would not have unwrapped a body to take it away. These cloths are evidence that Christ has left death behind. Evidence that Christ has conquered the grave. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Witnesses are wonderful, but it helps to have a little evidence. And if the forensics experts were called into the crime scene of Christ's empty tomb, they would tell us that linen was a costly and exclusive fabric meant to be used by royalty. Royalty like the King of the Jews, royalty like the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. These forensics experts would tell us that linen had a certain strength, a durability, and absorbency. Friends, I'm no forensics expert, but that sounds about right to me. This material was fit for a Messiah. Both of them had the strength to bear the weight of the world's sins. Both of them had the spiritual absorbency to soak up the sins of the world. Witnesses are wonderful, but evidence helps. And the evidence suggests that it is finished. The work that Christ came to do, the will of God, is finished. The days of trial finished, the mocking is finished, the punishment for loving all God's children is finished, the teaching and preaching to deaf ears, the casting of lots for his clothes finished, the hours of dragging his own cross easily twice his weight finished, the agony and shame of hanging naked for hours is finished, the temptation to come down and save himself is finished. He would not come down from the cross just to save himself. And because he didn't save himself, the work of saving the world is finished. Because he didn't save himself, sins will be forgiven. People will take up their mats and walk. Because he didn't save himself, bleeding women will be cleansed. Scales will fall from the eyes of the blind. Because he didn't save himself, those who live chained in the graveyards of this world, whether they are chained by choices or chained by circumstances they would never choose, those people can come back into the community. Because rejection is finished. Restoration is finished. Restoration, that was the whole goal. To bring us home, to bring us back into right relationship with God. And that's Peter's eyewitness testimony in Acts 10, verse 43. All the prophets testify about him, Peter says, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. That's good news. Everyone receives forgiveness. Everyone, each of us, even all the people we haven't yet forgiven. The folks who will never apologize for hurting us, everyone. Folks we don't see eye to eye with, folks who don't vote like we vote or live like we live, people who don't worship like we worship, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness. That's good news, no matter how bad we've been. I said earlier that most TV lawyers pretty much agree that facts don't matter quite as much as what you can prove. And the prayers of our church teach us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that proves God's love toward us. Sometimes the facts don't matter quite as much as what you can prove. And the Word of God, the record of the Bible, the sacrifice of the Savior, all prove that God so loved the world. They all prove that God would do any and everything to save us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, and that proves God's love toward us, because that's what we can prove, even though the facts of the matter are this. From the moment sin entered the world through Adam, all of us were taken captive to sin. The facts of the matter are that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The facts are, at some point, we were all in love with the world and all enemies of God. The facts are, we were satisfied running up a tab, knowing full well that the wages of sin is death. The facts of the matter are, what we earned, what we deserve is death, but God. The facts are, while we were yet sinners, God proved God's love for us by sending God's only Son to live and die for us. And not only that, but to wrestle with death for us and to rise up with all power in His hands. The facts of the matter are, we deserve death. We deserve to be executed on a cross instead of Christ, but God. But God, who is rich in mercy and abounding in steadfast love, decided to settle the matter in court, decided to settle the matter in a public trial, in an open courtroom on a hill called Calvary. And the good news is, instead of forcing us to drag our own cross up Golgotha's hill, the good news is, instead of forcing us to stand trial, instead of asking us to account for our sin, God asked Christ to take our place. The psalmist says, if you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? The facts of the matter are, we could not stand for ourselves. So Jesus, He who was without sin, He who knew no sin, became sin for us. So Jesus became the expiation of our sins and the sins of the world. Expiation meaning atonement. He made amends for our guilt. The facts of the matter are, we could not take the stand for ourselves. So Jesus stood trial for us. So Jesus was convicted of our crimes. So Jesus took the punishment. So Jesus paid it all to Him we owe. Friends, we couldn't testify before God because the psalmist already told us none could stand. But now that the case is closed, God is calling us to witness. That's the least we could do. Testify. That's the least we could do. Give a little interview on the steps of the courthouse or church house or any house. That's the least we could do. Put some running in our feet and tell someone that we have seen the Lord. Jesus said to Mary in the garden, don't hold on to me because I haven't yet ascended to my Father. And today I hear a similar message. Don't hold on to me. If I've made a difference in your life, if I've done anything for you, don't hold on to me. Tell somebody, don't hold on to me if I've made a way for you, if I've rolled the stone away from your tombs when you felt trapped, don't hold on to me. If I've resurrected anything in your life, don't hold on to me. Go and tell. Go and tell. After the psalmist acknowledges our inability to stand before God, the writer says, but with you there is forgiveness so that we can with reverence serve you. So that we can with reverence serve you. A case is only as good as its witnesses. And since Jesus took the stand up for us, we can forget the facts and run till death. Since Jesus took the stand for us, we can forget the facts and serve Him. And even after all that I've said, someone under the sound of my voice still thinks they're unworthy, unable to serve. Someone still thinks they've done too much for too long to serve Him. Someone is thinking about their ridiculous record of sin instead of thinking of God's record of grace. Someone still doesn't know that the case against us is closed. Someone doesn't know that the charges have been dropped because it's not about us. It's about Jesus. Friends, the good news is we can't forget the facts because they hung Him high and stretched Him wide. We can forget the facts because the blood drips like sweat from His brow to cover sinners then and sinners now. We can forget the facts because they pierced Him in His side. because he hung his head and died. We can forget the facts because that's not how the story ends. 3 days later, he rose again. We can forget the facts and get ready to serve because 3 days later, he rose, calling his next witness. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Friends, would you take a moment to pray about how God has spoken to you through this message? Seeds have been planted today. God's word does not return void. It goes out and produces fruit. It accomplishes the purposes for which it was sent. Take time to pray about how God is sending you today.
Thank you for joining us. Special thanks to those who support this ministry with their time, talent, and gifts. If you enjoy this podcast, you can subscribe, share with friends, and on your social media stories. Don't forget to tag us at First United Methodist Church, College Station. Peace and God bless.